went out the corner of my eye, I saw a pretty little thing approaching me. Welcome back to the JRD Hogcast. I am your host, Dylan Lee, joined as always with our co-host, Jordan Russell, and our producer, Luke Griggs. So, fun little one on this one. This was a personal choice for me on this intro song. Right before Basic, my first concert was Cage the Elephant at Kane's Ballroom in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And got to give a shout out to my middle brother, Matt, my brother. He took me to this concert. I don't necessarily know why. At that time, it was one of the few times he kind of showed some emotion and did something for me. And I'm gonna say,
were leaving?
Yeah, it had to be because I was leaving. Maybe it was the risk of me not coming back. But hey, who knew that I would just end up in Minot, North Dakota? So. Little did we know, I'd be all right. Yeah. So, but yeah,
cool.
So.
I didn't know we were doing personal requests with us.
Well, I mean, hey, I get to push the buttons, so stuff happens.
Okay, cool. How's your weekend been?
It's been all right. Pretty lazy weekend, at least on today for Sunday. So, get some pedaling around down in the house and see some family and do the normal stuff. So.
Normal old Lee House Sunday.
Yeah. Keep the compound strong, so a little day of rest.
Yeah. Well, I was with our boy JT from Elite Mobile Detail. Did some more riding today. I am sunburnt.
I see that.
Crazy. And the last few times I've been sunburnt, it's just peeled off, and I've gone right back to pasty white, so I guess I'm stuck with that for the rest of my life. I'm too old to tan anymore, I guess.
Right.
But in other news, baseball.
Keep on keeping on, really.
Man.
So, let's see. We'll back all the way up, I guess, to the midweek game with the Little Rock Special, shall we call it, Grambling State. And another one of those Little Rock venues or events that folks didn't get to watch on national television or any kind of television. So you had to tune in and listen to Phil Elson and Bubba Carpenter doing the play-by-play. But I do have to say, looking at it, like, I was telling you this earlier, there were some shots on Twitter of the actual field itself there, and best thing I could come up with was it looked like a middle-aged man's hairline with all the balding spots. It looked pretty rough.
On the grass?
On the grass. On the field in general. Yeah, it was pretty sad, but I mean, hey, picked up the W.
Got a big one there. That was a 17-3 win. They went to town on that one.
Right.
It's unfortunate when you can't watch those. Like, if you can't watch a game because of stuff you're doing, you know, that's on you. Like, you know, like, if you're traveling or whatever, like, I can't watch it, so whatever. But when you just don't get an opportunity to watch it because of the lack of, I guess, equipment at that stadium, it's just annoying, man. But Casey Martin, I believe that was his second in the park, inside the park home run of the year at right. that point.
Standing up.
To the listeners, I imagine most of them probably have a pretty good hold on baseball, especially if you're Razorback fans, because that's all we got to hold on to right now. But that's not easy. I mean, nope. Inside the park home runs aren't easy at the peewee level. Obviously, they happen more often there, but that dude can scoot.
And the first one he had this year, you know, it got kind of jammed up underneath the barrier or whatnot, right. And it was kind of one of those weird ones, like, what do you do? Well, if you can get it out, you got to get it out. And
they have the opportunity to throw their hands up,
yep.
The fielders do in a situation like that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, and Casey Martin's on the base paths, you better find a way to get it out of there real quick.
Yeah, play on. So.
But, yeah, so we got that win 17-3. Cole Ramage had a decent outing. He's kind of fallen off the pace a little bit over the last couple weeks. He's not, I don't know, maybe a little bit of fatigue because we were using him a lot earlier in the year for relieving and stuff. And we've, for the most part, got the weekend rotation figured out. So maybe that has a little bit to do with it as well. But pretty decent outing there. He gave up the three runs that they got, only two earned out of the three, but I'll say only two, you know, two-thirds of the runs were earned in that. But can't report a whole lot on that game because, like I said, we couldn't watch it. So
we don't have problems. At least I don't personally have problems with basketball and baseball playing their Little Rock games. But if you're going to do it, bring the facilities and the venues up to the SEC standards. So a lot of folks, the main deal is there's fiber optic and they have to have a substitute to bringing in the trucks because ESPN doesn't bring in the trucks and the satellite trucks actually broadcast the games at Verizon Arena or Dickie Stevens Park. So when it comes to the remotes, like the SEC Network Plus games, if we're not set up for those at the venues that we're playing, they can't do them. So, and then they also can't give the rights to anybody else on those two particular games. So it's not a case like, oh, you can go get it picked up by, you know, somebody local. Local channel doing it. But so kind of miss out on that. But I'd imagine as long as we keep this going, they'll eventually get brought up to the plus standards and be able to broadcast any game.
Kind of off topic a little bit real quick, but how do you feel about that? We're the number five team in the country leading the West Division by two games at the moment, and we can't get more than the national games that we've gotten.
Right. So the SEC Network Plus games, at least on the midweek games, kind of make sense, but there's been too many times in the last week or, you know, last coming weeks, I guess you could say, that we watch a game either on our phone or have to cast it onto the Apple TV or whatever it may be, and you're watching that, and then you go look at what's on the SEC Network, and it's a rerun of a spring football game or something that isn't.
Right.
Like, it's like you've got a top five program, and, you know, we had great matchups, you know, top 10 matchups series, right. And instead of airing those on the SEC Network, they want to, you know, spring South Carolina games. So.
Right, and or the SEC Now show, which I do enjoy, but in the SEC Now is the Razorbacks playing. You know?
It's a legitimate game going on right now.
Right. But, it's frustrating. Obviously, we're going to get some airtime when the postseason hits and all that, but, you know, it at the end of the day, I guess it really doesn't matter because we know what we got and we enjoy watching it. Out of all the games this year that I've had an opportunity to watch, this is the one that we didn't, and it was against Grambling State. So not going to argue too much, but it is frustrating, especially with the – and you're not being sarcastic. There's literally been spring football game reruns over the weekend while we've been playing.
Yep.
And not just us, everybody else in the SEC as well.
Yep.
Like, put something on.
Put something on that's live right now. So.
Yeah, exactly. But fast forward into the weekend series that we just wrapped up today with a loss. Unfortunately, we did get the series win, which is what matters ultimately against Kentucky. We won on Friday night 5-2. Saturday's game got postponed, so we played a doubleheader today. And won the first one, I believe it was 9-1. Yep, 9-1, and then lost the last one 4-3 on a daggum double play.
Yeah, they were trying. They were trying all they could.
They tried. They and on the first game today of the doubleheader, I believe they were up on us. Yeah, they were up 1-0 until the sixth inning, and we threw up 6 runs and then another 3 in the 7. They were 7 inning games today due to the time constraints, I guess, is what that was about. But ended up, you know, putting it together, which shaping up to be like that in the second game, but it didn't quite happen that way.
It's tough to win doubleheaders, and then it's even harder to win them if they're shortened. But
yeah,
you got to play the baseball how you got to play them. You don't want to miss out on two games, especially when right now that's the difference in the top of the division. So,
right. It's funny you say that, though, because I was thinking we won the first one. I'm like, man, that's sweet. You got it. And then the second one, I'm like, this is bullshit, man. There needs to be 9 innings. We won 9-1 in a 7 inning game and then lost. But what'd you see from the pitching staff overall? What'd you think?
I think the biggest takeaway is that we've gotten our three that we can kind of rely on in the last outings. Is we've got the guys that we can rely on. Connor Nolan, I'm just going to chalk it up to football being done, and he's able to play one sport and concentrate on one, and that's good for us right now, and that's good for the run that we need to have right now. So I think that's a big change.
He did give up the four today, but he has had two outstanding outings prior to today. You could say maybe the doubleheader thing got him or whatever, but everybody had to go through those conditions. But, you know, with the bats we have, you would like to think four isn't a losing number.
Right.
But they did kind of go stale in that second game. But got to give a shout-out to the one and only Dave Van Horn, 1,000th career win, Division One win.
Well, that was the first game of the series after the first game?
Second.
So, is it second game? Okay.
It's the second game.
So he didn't get 1,001.
Didn't get 1,001. Crooked number. They didn't want to mess with it.
Yeah.
Start a new week.
He'll get that.
But that's pretty freaking substantial. 1,000 wins. I mean, that's why he's a Hall of Fame coach.
Yep.
I mean, it is what it is there. But also, our boy Casey Martin
got another
inside the park home run.
Yeah.
And was that the first game today, right?
Yeah. Almost. Did he really? In the series?
Yeah, he did today. Oh. Yeah.
Wow. Boy is on fire.
And they clocked him on that one. They didn't clock him. So you mentioned the one was a standing up. His first one was standing up. This was the second one. So this one, he dove, but he didn't have to. So kind of another, you know, standing up inside the park home run. But they clocked him on the SEC Network 14 seconds
from
home to home.
From home to home.
Can you do that, Dylan?
Yeah, sure.
One step on one side of home plate, one step on the other.
Yeah, exactly. So that means it's three on the year then. So
that's what I was saying on the production, yeah.
Yeah, so we're at three. That is impressive. But I was waiting for it. You're giving all these shout-outs to him. All, you know, we got Dave Van Horn shout-out. We got Casey
Martin. I'm leaving that for you, bro.
So the third shout-out is to Mr. Bombtastic himself, Casey Opis, OPP.
OPP.
Ugh, throwing out four people. Don't run on him. Don't run on him.
What you doing, man? Why are you trying that? Get out of here. Quit being silly.
Get that stuff out of there.
One from the knees, man. From the knees. Unfortunately, I was traveling, so I didn't get to see it. I've actually kind of been waiting for a replay on SEC Network, which is why it's playing right now, actually, in the background. But
you're probably still going to have to wait. They don't even run the live stuff, so I don't think they'll do the replay.
No kidding, right?
Might get some highlights.
Yeah, but they Phil said that it was a strike. So, apparently wasn't close when in terms of, you know, throwing someone out at second. But that's impressive. Four in three games.
Don't run on him.
That's fairly new to his repertoire, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not been bad at it. Like, he's never been bad, but he's progressively gotten better. And that's always comforting as a pitcher. To know that your, you know, third out doesn't have to be from your arm.
I think we get him for at least two more years, too.
Two more years, man. More OPP talk from the one and only Dylan Lee for the next two to three.
Kazuo, I mean, his stock is just going to keep on rising at this point. Kid's got all the tools. So just work on the batting average a little bit. He comes up with clutch hits. He just needs to have consistent hitting. So
I think he went into this series around 290, which is
he's definitely brought it up. I know he was
not terrible, but it's not.
He was at like a 145 earlier in the season, so
I guess Nesbitt's trying to take over that mark because Nesbitt's not been. I think they said he was like 1 for 18 or 19 or something like that.
He had a good stretch there though. What was it, two series ago where he was kind of showing out?
Well, he was basically the MVP, if you will, over the Mississippi State series, I think it was. So, just kind of, I mean, that's baseball. You get in them slumps. I mean, even Martin, for the most part, hasn't been on the exact same level that he was last year. Not doing bad by any means, but, I mean, it's baseball, ebb and flow.
That's the dangerous thing about this lineup, and especially if they can start feeling it in a tournament aspect, and that's why tournament play is so crazy and why it's so hard to win the College World Series. So, but we've got a lineup like none other, and if they all start going, no one's stopping us.
Right. Oh, no one's stopping us. I'm trying so hard, man. What? I'm trying not to. I'm trying not to.
Call me out on it?
No. I'm trying not to.
Be that guy?
We're going to win the World Series guy. Because two reasons. One,
It's incredibly difficult, first of all. We haven't had a complete series where that happens in the aspect of top to bottom. So there's always usually a glaring weakness of some sort.
Right. But I've been on air saying that the fans are going to be like, we're going to win the world. Oh, we suck. We're going to win. Oh, we suck. And I've been on the air doing that myself. But you look at this team and what they're doing, it's just so hard not to start nibbling at that World Series talk. Just nibble a little bit. I'm not taking a big bite of it. I'm just nibbling, see what it tastes like. And it's looking and tasting really good right now.
I mean, it doesn't help that we're finally getting national talk, being in the top five, and we're looking at the big possibility of hosting.
We're essentially
regional
going to host,
and then, well, yeah, we definitely have a regional, do our business, right, and get a super regional out of the deal as well, and that definitely makes the road a lot easier if they can stay inside Bomb Stadium.
Would be
so
nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to a game if that happens.
Well, yeah, that's a given. So.
Right.
We've got some engagements and everything like that, but we're not going to miss out on you. Like myself, we are going on vacation, but we will have a show from the beach. So this will continue. We ain't going to
just... never stops working.
Yeah, we're not just going to hit you with a highlight reel or come in and like, hey, listen to our previous 18 episodes or whatever it may be. We're not going to bring in another host. It's going to keep going, and we won't forget about you.
Man, I was kind of hoping I would take over, and you'd be gone. And
you just wanted a one-man show?
You're so much better than Dylan. Let's just leave it. I'll boot you out.
Oh, okay. All right. So the JR Hawkcast? All right.
Yeah, the JR, exactly. Yeah, you get to go on vacation. I will not, but I am going to have my little ones. And that's going to be a lot of fun. So on our next, starting in about a month, our next few recordings might have guest appearances by my oldest coming over here. What's that? I want to say something. Ooh, microphone. That's cool.
Yeah.
Or give me another Kinder Egg, whatever she's going to be talking about at that time. So we might have to work through a little bit of those bumps. But, yeah, we're going to keep them coming hot and ready. And with that talk, football cannot keep it coming. They are shut down on recruiting from May 6th to May 12th. And every single coach in the nation will follow those rules. Every single one of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
No texting will be going on. No emails.
Yep.
No sideways Twitter handles.
Yep. Exactly. I
no
believe that.
Break their rule.
I believe that as much as everything I believe out of Willie Wade's mouth.
Wait, so the Willie Wade post recording or during recordings? Because during recordings, I bet you he's telling the truth. I will get you that $300,000, son. Come play for me.
Yeah, just fill in that amount on that blank check I'm filling out to you. So. Yeah,
you want another zero? Go ahead.
Yeah. So they're following the rules just like NCAA basketball teams are. So,
but hey, the University of Arkansas and Coach Chad Moore's lips are sealed.
All they're doing is taking the time to fill up the planes and all the other vehicles that they're going to use.
Do some preventative maintenance,
yeah,
stuff like that.
Yeah. Just go ahead and bring the
stock
plane
in the
in.
Red Bull fridge.
Yeah, exactly. And then might be working on a little bit of throttle so they can just ride back in that left lane and put the hammer down. So,
yes, sir.
One thing that is kind of happening, at least on the football side of things, we do really, it's kind of the biggest thing, that's came out recently is the fact that we are playing an in-state opponent. Get ready for it. All right, let's get excited because it's going to be not the Red Wolves. Yeah, sorry, state. I love it. I love it. I love the fact that we bring in an in-state opponent to play in Fayetteville, and it is not Arkansas State, because that's definitely the fan base that, you know, is clamoring loudest to play Arkansas and everything, but
only when we're down.
Yeah. And only when we're down. So, hey, but they're redoing their north end zone. So there's that.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah. It's got a nice water feature because they couldn't.
Well, that was up and going last year, right?
Right. Well, they were working still. Yeah. But, I mean, they couldn't put seats in there, so they had to put in a water fountain. So there's that.
Water fountain. It's where the Wolves walk over there and get a drink during the game.
So,
but it is University of Arkansas Pine Bluff. You were too busy making fun of State that you forgot to mention who it was.
Yeah, so the actual people, sorry.
So we get University of Arkansas Pine Bluff in football for 2021 and 2024.
Yeah, I love how they're predicting, you know, well, not predicting, but they're scheduling these out. So next thing you know, maybe we'll say it right now. All right, we'll go ahead and schedule the Arkansas State series for 2045.
So, it's not going to work for me. 2046.
Okay, so that'll be a home and home. So then we'll go to Jonesboro. 20 never.
Right. So what's funny to me about this, though, other than just the fact that it wasn't State, is we also bring UALR for baseball.
Yeah.
Like, everybody around Jonesboro is getting picked to come play us, except for you.
Yeah. Who's this guy? Who are you over here?
It's like somebody from the university pulls into the State parking lot, like, oh, I got to take a piss. Okay, we're done. Turn back around. Heading to Pine Bluff.
Teams we will play before Arkansas State. UCA, Arkansas Tech, obviously Pine Bluff. ULR might make a football team, and then we'll play them before Arkansas State. So,
and I'm pretty sure doesn't Wichita State or whatever down in Clarksville, don't they have like a little? Nah, that might be us. It might just be a baseball school. But hey, we'll get them up here too.
We'll get them in. So,
no, that's funny stuff. So we had some a big time recruit, and I'm sorry, do you have his name, from Texas? He was on an official visit this weekend. I think it was Friday night. Dadgummit, I can't remember his name, but we were the first SEC school to offer him a scholarship, and he loved us. And I think Dylan might be working on the name right now, but
I'm working on it.
It was he's a 4-star athlete, but it looked like we were looking at him for corner.
Was that Rogers? Jahari Rogers?
Might have been. I kind of locked us up on that. I'm sorry.
They got him at a 3-star. And a 6'170" athlete. So, talking about cornerback here, this probably be your guy. He's
44 overall in Texas.
Yeah, he's on the edge of being a 4-star according to Rivals. So,
but he loved the Jalen Catalan and Enoch Jackson. Apparently, they treated him pretty well, and he likes that we don't have depth in the DB position. So,
He apparently already has a pretty good relationship with Jamie Vance, who's already committed, a 3-star out of Louisiana. So, and that coming in for 2020. So,
and that's Coach Smith, right? Is he the DB recruiter?
Yeah, he's the lead recruiter on Rogers.
Yeah, so he was talking about his relationship with him and how much they talk and making him feel good. He still has visits to I think it was Florida and. Maybe Texas or something like that. But anyway.
Florida, Texas, Notre Dame, Miami. But he's got visits to Florida and Texas. But hey, side note, completely side note, Texas is in the bottom of the Big 12 in baseball. Just
saying. Yeah. Well, also, a producer pointed out to us, we're doing a little flip the script with baseball where Arkansas is number one in the West and Bama is at the very bottom of the West. So
yes.
Anytime that happens, totally cool with that. I don't give a shit what sport it is.
Absolutely.
But I thought that was pretty good news. Granted, it's too early, but what'd you say his name was?
Well, I'm going to go with Jahari Rogers.
Jahari Rogers. So he does want to commit before his football season starts. So ideally we'll get to hear something from him sooner rather than later.
I like that. But not have to worry about it during this your season and your playing time, and you know, do your homework and hopefully make that call. But really, what's it to you committing wise? Because it seems like a commitment just gets dropped just as easy, but I don't want to think about that.
So. It don't matter to you until the signing day, huh?
Exactly. We got to have letter of intent in and all that good stuff.
Well, we definitely got burnt by that this past go-around, so always in the back of your mind. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a kid's decision. Ideally, it's, you know, clean and nothing dirty going under the table.
Right.
Insert Willie Wade here. You know, stuff like that. But it's this coaching staff just gets after it on the recruiting trail, though. Like, you see every day on Twitter something's popping up. Offer here, curiosity here, interest here. You know, just constantly, every day, something.
The staff as a whole, you know, from head coach all the way down, just use social media so much better than the previous staff. I mean, you even see the oldest guy in chief, Davis, freaking posting up every now and again.
Who doesn't like recruiting?
who doesn't like recruiting? I mean, he's been on there. He's been on the record saying, like,
yeah, exactly.
It takes a lot out of you. Don't really like it. So
he doesn't miss a meal, though. Clearly, he's finding time somewhere in there for some food. But it's exciting, and it's I just can't wait for the season to start.
Why does it? I mean, I don't necessarily know, but it seems like there's more. Well, there's obviously more sleaziness going on with basketball, but like character-wise, like you go and you look at some of these coaches, and you're like, yeah, you're sleazy, you're slimy, that kind of thing. But you don't really get that with football. Like, there's
you're just straight appearance-wise. Is that what you're saying?
Well, just kind of like gut-wise. So, you know, we've always had our Calipari talk, and now Willie Wade's pretty obvious. But then you have some other ones that you just kind of, yeah. Like, the fact that Willie Wade and Sean Miller from Arizona still have jobs in basketball, like, that just baffles me. But
Right. There's
no one that jumps out on the football side of things. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, because there's definitely some shady stuff. Urban Meyer's probably top of the
He's
list right there.
The first one that popped in my head.
Really? So, well, I had one. But
who?
Herman. So that was if we're talking active for us, it's, you know, it's hard for us to disconnect from it, but he kind of seems the sleaziest.
Todd Herman.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Herman.
Whatever.
Okay, cool.
Cool.
We big.
Do we?
We'll get to that in a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, I see what you're saying. But the thing to me with Urban is he, I think just, you can't, for me, and I'm not saying that he's accountable for this at all, but you got a guy like Hernandez in your roster. Aaron Hernandez,
mm-hmm.
The murderer.
Oh, I'm aware.
Yeah. In case the people listening aren't, Aaron Hernandez played for Florida with Tebow and then went on to the Patriots and then went on to kill like three people and then himself in prison. But you got somebody like that under you for 3 years. You don't pick up on that. And again, I'm not saying that Urban Meyer made Hernandez kill anybody. I'm not saying that at all. But you don't pick up on that?
There was somebody else, too. Like, he had some questionable characters in there. But he also had the shiniest of characters, too.
I know,
Tim Tebow.
Right?
So it's one of those deals where it is what it is. But, yeah, we're not saying he, you know, coached up murders or anything like
no,
that.
No, nothing like that. But if you have a guy like Hernandez who clearly had issues,
right,
mental issues, and with all the crap that's come out with Urban over the past couple years, it's hard not to think that he may have looked over some characteristic flaws in search of that championship.
Right.
You know, I mean, just like,
he tends to just kind of jump ship when it's getting close, you know, to going down.
Yeah, he will coach again. I'll go on record right now saying he will coach again.
Oh, yeah. All of a sudden, he'll be healthy as a, you know.
Healthy as a horse, man.
Healthy as a horse, yeah. So.
But Herman is still somehow, some way, getting away with the fact that he was paying strippers and shit.
Yeah.
You know, like, they found out. I mean, that's if you work for Texas, man, you're untouchable.
I mean, the best thing they did, I mean, they essentially made Zach Smith an scapegoat, and I'm not going to credit the guy or try to defend the guy. Like, he did his stuff, but
he was a piece of shit, too, yeah.
Yeah, it was enough for them to give ammunition, so when Zach Smith did what everyone would assume, started just naming names, it was like,
whistleblowing, well, like a mother.
You gonna listen to that guy? You know what he's done. Well, yeah, but this isn't talking about what he's done. Like, this isn't stuff that is really gonna save him. He's been burned. What does he have to gain from this? Absolutely right. Nothing. So it makes me think the stuff that he is saying has been happening. Did happen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, the thing with Herman, too, is this might cause some people irritation, but he hides behind the religious card.
Well, you know who, I mean? Who else did? Hugh Freeze. Ole Miss.
Oh, I didn't. Yeah, nothing's popping off in my head with that.
Oh,
but.
Yeah. Yeah, he gave all glory to God and all that good stuff in his press conferences, and he was giving a little bit more to some other people on the company
every
phone.
Every time that
phone
rang,
yeah.
He was giving a big glory to God, I'm sure.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So.
But that's enough. We'll definitely be able to get into more of that, you know, as football season draws near. I'm not even sure how we ended up on that.
Sleazeballs, really. We worked our way all the way. So I mentioned, you know, who's some sleazeballs in football, and we just ran with it. So, and I completely forgot about Hugh Freeze. Urban
Top
Meyer was
a sleazeballs coming up on the next episode.
Right. So, yeah. And Hugh Freeze is back to coaching football too at Liberty or whatever. So that should be interesting to say the
counting
least.
Counting me and you, zero people care.
Yeah, exactly. So, but that kind of leads us into something a little lighthearted. Our Twitter dirt segment, which is brought to you by Elite Mobile Detail LLC.
And his phone number is 832-540-8013. I keep freestyling this every time we do it. He does a fantastic job. Apparently, he loved our love we gave him on the last episode with how good of a job he does. So we're doing something right there. But hit him up on Google. Check out the reviews. Listen to what other people have to say other than just us two. And give him a call, and he can get you cleaned up real nice and shiny-like.
Really, jump on the Instagram and his Facebook and take a look at some of his before and after stuff. It still baffles me on that scratch, on the scratches on that black F-150, because black is so hard to shoot, clean, all that stuff. It shows a lot. And he was able to, I don't know, work his magic and scratches be gone.
Right.
So
my Twitter dirt, you and the producer don't like. And I don't care because it bothers me. I saw it on Twitter. It bothered me. It's my Twitter dirt. That's how this works. Cornhole or bags? What's it called? When you got the board that you play at every tailgating event that you've ever been to in your life, if you're from the South and you don't know what cornhole is, you're not doing it right. But somebody put on a, what was it, Midwest something or another Twitter handle. I can't remember, but they put a thing on here, retweet if it's called cornhole, or like if it's called bags. Somewhere, somehow, this became a question because people were arguing this fact, apparently. But it had like 60-something thousand retweets. And this number was demolished, but still too high, in my opinion, 30,000 likes for people saying it's called bags. When the hell has it ever been called bags?
Initially.
And this also is a representation of where we're at in the sports world season when this is a problem to me.
Yeah, you're hearing this segment and you're like, stale news week, huh?
Right.
Yes, exactly. No, it's also sports related in the aspect of
it is sports. That was my argument that I said to y'all. Don't you use that? I use that.
It's got to be
like, what? Cornhole or bags? I'm like, it's a sport.
It's got to be the top. Well, hey, I believe last year, we had some boys go to the championship from Arkansas in some cornhole.
Not in bags, right?
Not in bags. You don't. They don't call bags. So when you brought it to us, the first thing I thought was like, "Oh, cornhole, cool." But it does have the alternate, and that's even wrong there. Like, if you're gonna call it a different name, I've heard it called bago. Never heard just bags. So this is indeed new to me. It's cornhole to me. Yeah, we're stretching here. It's on Twitter dirt.
We are stretching. It was my Twitter dirt. I'm sorry. It's what I found.
But
it did, like I said,
we'll piggyback off of that. Is it cornhole? You can hit us up at JRD Hogcast. I'm assuming you will say, hashtag dummies, it's cornhole. So
No. They can't call us dummies because we don't agree with it. Well, call the people that do
Midwest
call it bags
or whatever.
So. But that's mine. I'm sorry. Like you said, still Newsweek. And I always love it. I'll be honest with you. Like, for the segment-wise, it's kind of like, dadgummit, something's got to piss me off, right? But also, you got to look at the good side of that. And, like, no one's being stupid on Twitter.
Yeah.
This is great. If you can go a week, a whole week, because we it's been a week since we recorded because I got the case of the migraines and I couldn't go. That's my fault. But if you can go a week through Twitter, scroll, and you can't find anything that pisses you off, that's impressive. And I'm not talking politically. I could go all day about that crap. Sports related, nothing pissed me off. I'm like, hey, good for you.
But cornhole and bags definitely did. He did. He genuinely got worked up on what is bags. So, and the fact that there was people defending bags, I think that's the biggest thing.
That was the biggest deal. Like I said, the 30,000 number for likes that said likes for, well, I imagine you could cut a percentage of that off because sometimes I'm guilty of that. If I see something I like and it's a like or retweet, I'll like it and retweet it.
Yeah.
I don't mean to, but still, we wouldn't assume that it would be any more than 10,000 people saying that is a good point. So let's just drop that number to 20,000. There are still 20,000 people out there that call cornhole bags, and that's not a good number.
Or the fact that there was over 70,000 people that interacted with that tweet. So let's just say that.
It pissed off that many people, Dylan. See, it wasn't just me.
Well, I came up with a game. Well, I didn't really come up with a game, so... today I'm at my aunt's and walking up to the door there, she's got red solo cup planters. So like you would see a terracotta pot, big planters. Mm-hmm. That's what this one looked like, but it was a red solo cup. And I was like, boom, like full yard beer pong. The guy that doesn't drink instantly saw those and said, what they need to do is get like a soccer ball or a volleyball, use that as like the ping pong deal and be able to do full yard pong.
Beer pong.
So, I don't know. Maybe I think you have to
drink
40s.
You hit one of those and you got to drink a whole thing of that. So, I would be drunk real quick.
Yeah, so. And I don't know how it would work with the whole, never mind, trying to prevent it from going into the planter. But, a little side note for you. My Twitter dirt is brought to you from one Aaron Cross, who it's actually a screenshot from a Alabama message board, and Aaron Cross is a Hall of Famer on their message board, which is Bama Online. Real creative. So I won't really read the whole thing because it's pretty lengthy, but Aaron goes on, and he is worried about Clemson, has doubts about one Nick Saban, misspells Dabo Sweeney's name, but...
He put two B's, didn't he?
No. But he is worried and doesn't know if Nick Saban can get it done, and their recruiting class is where he's worried. So his stats right here say the average is 95.43 on their recruiting. So I would assume on their grades. And theirs, Alabama's, is 92. So, and then their five stars are better than their five stars.
Bama's?
Yeah. No, Clemson's five stars are better than Alabama's five stars. So he's saying that this is essentially the fall of the program. And it goes, the actual headline for this one is, told you guys, Clemson is going to kick our, and you can kind of fill that one in. So... I just was like, really? This is almost like the classic punchline of first world problems or whatever.
Yeah, you're complaining about your five stars.
We've got Bama problems over here. And
you have a problem with your five stars.
Five stars not being number
good
one
enough,
or number two
stars
in their respective positions. So there.
There just is to wrap some... that up, is your dirt that? Is that what your dirt is?
Yeah.
Like, you're whooping about five stars.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. They're whooping because their recruiting classes are pretty much equal, but still not better than Clemson. It looks like they're worried about Nick Saban. So I was jokingly like, well, there goes the end of Saban. Like, the Alabama fans are going to crucify him because they got blown out by Clemson in the national championship. It's happening.
it's actually happening.
Yeah. So,
who would have thought?
Oh, man. So, speaking of, I guess, kind of Bama, we've got the softball team who has a chance to play some Alabama. The softball team is getting ready for the SEC softball tournament. They are the 9 seed. They are going to face Georgia Wednesday. I believe it's at 5:30. And then the winner of that game gets the opportunity to face number 1 seed, Alabama. So I wonder if they're having those issues over there. Do they have 5-star softball recruits?
Not good enough ones?
I don't know.
Not good enough 5-stars?
Alabama definitely has been pretty consistent in the softball world, along with OU and Arkansas's getting there. They are definitely getting there.
No, they're coming up. I mean, they're total 38-17. Their home record is 25-6, which is pretty legit, obviously. Problem is they're 12-12 in the conference, but also the problem is there's like 7 of them ranked in the top 25.
Right.
It's pretty mirrored to the baseball as far as the SEC rankings go. But it's just like last year, man. You know, we got a chance to host a regional, handled business there, but then we got drawn into the freaking OU Super.
Yep.
So I don't know what the stakes are. We can find out a little bit more about it after, or for our next recording, we can kind of dive into this, because they play Wednesday at 5:30 against Georgia. And if they win, they got to play the best damn team in the tournament. And I don't know if they lose that game, if their postseason's kind of gone, because, you know, Tennessee on the baseball side of things is ranked number 24, one of the lowest ERAs out there as a team in the country, and they have a chance of not making the postseason.
Right.
Because it's just that stacked. So I don't know if we're – because I know we were sitting right around 19, 21, somewhere in there in the rankings, so I don't know how big the stakes are. Is it like, if we don't win this, then we're done, or do we get a chance? So –
definitely do some digging on that, and you don't really know if it's kind of like the basketball or even the football sometimes, where it's like conference games or conference championships or conference tournaments don't really matter too much because they already kind of have predetermined. You see that a lot with the basketball team and Selection Sunday.
Well,
like,
but the,
they don't but take the, in account a run that a team makes in a conference tournament.
Right. For the lower seeds, though, sometimes those tournament runs are the difference.
Yeah, especially if it's auto bids.
You know, if we come up and play, if we come up and play Florida and beat Florida, or I'm sorry, Alabama, Alabama's still going to get in.
Right.
So, if that's the case, and again, we will dig more into this and find out for you before our next recording. Ideally, Alabama's like, hey, we're going to rest up for the NCAA tournament. Come on, Arkansas, you get on through here.
Yeah, right. We'll see what happens there. So hopefully we can get the light 'em up tournament run half that we saw a little bit last year.
Right.
And earlier this year. So
that would be ideal. But we'll find out more. And hopefully on our Thursday recording, we'll be reporting a win against Georgia.
Absolutely.
Wednesday.
Hopefully we got that going. But moving along, we've got our Burning Me Up segment, which is burning... I do it every time because
every
it just
time.
Seems more natural to me. So you correct me. 1, 2, 3.
Burning You Up segment.
The Burning You Up segment, which is brought to you by Ivan's Old Time Meat Shop. They're located at 2101 North 2nd Street. Their number is 636-3636.
That's working on me. That number is.
Yeah.
I noticed it this week at work. Somebody had a calendar up.
Yeah, saw that number. At least hit them up around the holiday season. You're going to get a free calendar out of the deal with purchase.
An expensive-ass calendar with all that meat that came with it. what you got? I went first on the old dirt.
All right. So they are adding another college football bowl game. This one is going to take place at Fenway Park. So I don't know if the powers that be at Fenway got upset that there's a Yankee pinstripe bowl and was like, hey, we can put some stripes on our baseball field and play some football inside of it. But that's going to happen. So that brings the total of postseason football bowl games to 43 games.
It's too much.
So quick math there, that's 86 teams.
Mm.
I feel like if you're going to have something that is postseason eligibility and all that good stuff.
The top 86 teams in the country.
There's like 123 FBS teams. So
you're saying there's a chance for Arkansas this year.
So you're saying there's going to be a lot of 5-7 teams that got in there because of academics. So.
That's not cool, man. I'm not even a big fan of the 6-6 rule, to be honest with you.
Right.
I feel like you need to have, that's not a
you
winning
or losing. You have to be over 500.
Over 500.
Yes.
You know, and if it just maybe put some bowls on the back burner, and if you end up getting more 7-5 teams on a particular year, then whoever bids the most gets that bowl in there, you know, for that team or for those teams. But
I mean, go back and look at some of these. Like, some of these bowl games, they have to use stadium fillers with ads. They'll slap over more ads over seats because they're not filling them out.
Right.
Strictly for TV money. No one's going to a lot of these events. I mean, there's the big, like, I'm going to say the New Year's Bowl and all that, but there's probably like 10 real big bowl games that folks go to that, you know, kind of get some attendance, but that's really based on the teams that are in those bowl games,
right,
too.
Exactly.
So,
and the proximity of said teams with fan base.
Exactly. I mean, really the only ones that travel isn't going to be an option or is going to be a playoff game. Like, if you're a diehard fan and you have the ability to, you're going to make it no matter, you know, if you got to go to California from Alabama, you're going to do it. So,
right.
But it's 43 games. Although, don't get me wrong, I love the idea of a football game in Fenway Park. Like, watch some football. Watching some football at, like, above the green, what's the green monster, whatever, the big green wall that they got out there. That's in Fenway, right? That's Fenway? Yeah, that's Boston.
Is that Fenway?
Yeah.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Oh, no. I didn't. Yeah, okay.
So, I don't know. So, there's one. It's actually a soccer field, but it's completely surrounded by water. Play a bowl game there.
What is it?
It's an island. It's a soccer field. I think it's somewhere. I can't remember, but
you want to know what I hate less than golf?
Soccer. So, well, no, I'm not saying play a soccer game there. Whatever. That's what they do all the time. I'm saying play a football game there. So
that is a game they play there all the time.
And then at this point, why don't you have a London game? NFL's doing it. Have a London bowl game.
Oh my God! Somebody's gonna listen to this and be like, cha-ching.
Right.
That's
London.
An idea right there. Good God, no. So my burning you up, damn it, you got me doing it.
Yeah, dude.
Involves another LeBron James.
I'm just walking out.
Yeah, yeah. See, so I'm trying to take these segments literally. Like, if I see something and it burns me up, like, there's a difference to me what I'm seeing, like, Twitter dirt, irritating, stupid. If something burning me up, like I see something, I'll stop on it.
The whole idea is it mellows onto you to the point where maybe you saw it a few days ago, and then we jump on here recording-wise, and you're like, you know what? That still got me going.
And it did, because I took this screenshot a couple days ago.
All right.
Ty Lue, or I guess Tyron Lue. Did you see this? You just gave me the whole...
And go ahead.
He's the front runner to take over the Lakers job. Do you know why? Because he is LeBron James' little
big.
Because he's not going to be coached by Lue. Lou's going to sit there, make his millions while LeBron James does what LeBron James does. LeBron James has come into the Lakers organization, fairly respectable organization. Lakers are sort of a big deal in the NBA world. And he has just completely turned it upside down because he isn't getting what he wants. A freaking player isn't getting what he wants. He ran off Magic freaking Johnson, who is the godfather of the Lakers. I guess argued, you know, with Kareem. I forgot his name. Yeah, Kareem, yeah. But that's why it burns me up, because you're bringing this dude in because he is going to be his little puppet. He is going to be LeBron James' little puppet. He's not going to have a single say in what this dude has won a NBA championship. You know why? Because he had the job when LeBron won with the Cavaliers. And it just burned me up. I think it's a joke. I'm so sick of LeBron James. When is he going to retire?
Probably when a team offers him just primary ownership. So then he can go and sink that team. Like, he'll play one season as the owner and player, and then...
Because Michael did that, right? He's not trying to emulate Michael at all, though.
So,
freaking jackass.
Michael waited a while to actually buy a team, and...
I thought he was part owner when he played for the Wizards.
Was he? I thought he did have a stake in the Wizards.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, he did.
But he didn't run anything.
The best thing Lou has done... like, basketball-related, was get stepped over by...
his coattails to freaking LeBron James?
Get stepped over by Allen Iverson. That's the best thing he's ever done basketball-related.
Check that out on YouTube. Tyronn Lue gets stepped over by Allen Iverson. It's pretty funny. You talk about a disrespect move. Anywho, that's my problem. I'm ready for him to be done.
Yeah.
We're hopefully going to do this show for another 40-plus years, and I hope there's not another year of this to do that I have to bring up LeBron James. Dude didn't even make it to the playoffs. Everybody's like, LeBron James, LeBron James. LeBron James and his fellow counterparts didn't do this and that. If it's all about LeBron James and he's the GOAT and all this crap, why didn't the GOAT make the freaking playoffs? You know why? Because he was in the West, and it finally got it reared its ugly head to him, and he's like, he talking shit earlier this year, like, well, yeah, they're doing good in the East. They ain't got to go through me.
Yeah.
Well, guess what, you son of a bitch.
Whoopig.
Enjoy the sidelines.
Well, see, the funny thing is he kind of set this up. So I know a lot of changes happen on the East side of things after he made his announcement to the Lakers, but the East teams were gearing up to play LeBron James teams, and he jumped ship because the East was getting hard. So you're not going to be number one in line to watch Space Jam number two? Is that what I'm getting? I feel like you're
not going to dignify that with an answer.
Oh, okay. So, but
I mean, Michael couldn't even do that right. LeBron James damn sure isn't.
Oh, man. But kind of a 2A, because this met up with both of us, so we didn't pick it individually. Another burning you up segment was this Monday Night Football booth team here. So
loosely used term, team.
Yeah, team. So obviously Jason Witten gets back into the league for your beloved Cowboys.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, so he's going to go out there and catch his 4-yard passes and fall down. So more power
to
you
today.
So hey, I love Jason Witten, all right?
Okay.
Just not
in a commentary position.
Not in a commentary position. So the announcement we were waiting on was who's going to fill that spot?
They looked at Peyton Manning.
Yeah, and Peyton.
He declined.
Declined.
So their next best thing to do, in their opinion,
was take Booger McFarlane out of the Rover trailer.
Whatever that weird thing was
that blocked people's views in the first row. Move his ass to the booth with one Joe Tessitore,
who we both agree we enjoy a lot.
It's the only, like, not the only reason I watch Monday Night Football, but it's the only reason I would have the volume up on Monday Night Football was to hear what Joe Tessitore says, because I wasn't listening for Jason Witten's insight by any means, and I sure as hell am not going to be listening for Booger McFarlane's insight.
Okay, we'll give the people what they want. We will live stream commentary of Monday Night Football games so they don't have to listen to it.
We're going to do it no matter who the teams are. Dude, I don't know if I could do that because I think Cleveland's got one this year. So,
hey, they're going to win the Super Bowl, bro.
Oh, man.
Bash brothers are back together, Jarvis Landry and Odell. But anywho.
Yeah.
I'm curious, though. So Jason Witten was pretty bad. Like, it was bad. I didn't like having to talk crap about my boy Jason Witten. But Booger is not good. So we got some buddies at work that we discussed this with, and we've kind of all come to the conclusion that we hope that the two of them separated, being Witten and Booger, with them not being together, trying to talk over one another, maybe it'll be better.
Maybe. A little bit better, but I just feel bad for Joe Tess. He probably has a great relationship with both of them, but
I'm sure they're buddies, yeah.
He carrying those big boys. So
well, see, I didn't mind Booger in the studio though when he was on the SEC Network.
Little snippets, yeah. Fine and dandy. You know, talk a little bit of highlights, give your little 4 to 6 minutes, but for 3.5 hours, the best thing that came from this is for those folks that were high paying ticket owners or you know that little rover that I'm talking about. He's out of your view, hopefully. I don't know. Maybe they'll, you know, ESPN might get a wild hair and put the whole booth. So you might have to look at Joe Tessitore and Booger going all the way down.
In between the 20s. In between the 20s the whole time.
Yeah.
God, that would be something. All right, so this is it, Dylan. I'm doing it.
You're doing it?
I'm doing it.
Okay. So, all right. All right, so that is it for the JRD Hawk.
So, last episode, I said, something along the lines of Woo Pig. I think it was the end of the show when we were wrapping up. And you said, Suey, like the Bielemaire is over. And I, you know, we were recording and I didn't want to get in your butt about it. Like in my head, I am thinking, and I didn't know if I stood alone on this or not. So, but in my head, I'm thinking, quit moving around. I can hear you. Listen to me. This is my roasting of you right now.
Okay.
But, in my head, I'm thinking, I've been saying Woo Pig before Bielema came along. Bielema just started doing it. Well, we had our production meeting a couple of days ago when I was down and out, and the producer, Luke Griggs, we call him Luther. I like that. It's a little pet name for him. But he mentioned to me, he's like, hey, man, why didn't you jump on Dylan's ass about you saying Woo Pig? And I'm like, is it okay? Like, he agreed with me. Long story short, he agreed with me that Woo Pig is, in fact, acceptable. It is not a Bielema thing. People have been saying it before. So from here on out, you cannot correct me. It's Woo Pig.
Suey.
If you want to do Suey, if you want to do Woo Pig Suey, that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. Woo Pig Suey all day long. But in quick little conversational pieces, Woo Pig is fine.
All right. So I'm obviously going to stay with Woo Pig Suey because I do relate it so much with Brett Bielema in the aspect of that was his period at every end of interview, statement, anything of the sort. If he wasn't busy.
As a lot of coaches do.
As if he wasn't busy hopping on his wife or having borderline erotic moments, he was saying Woo Pig, Woo Pig, Woo Pig. So that's it. Everybody's got their thing. I've got two things when it comes to the university here. Now, I guess I have two things. The Woo Pig has just gotten me. And I want to know, and I will put the Twitter poll out there. Is it Woo Pig or is it Woo Pig Suey?
No, see, you're baiting people.
What?
Why don't you just do it simple? Is Woo Pig acceptable to say rather than Woo Pig Suey? Yes or no?
All right, you make the post.
You were baiting them.
Okay, you make the post.
There's a news network out there that does that.
This isn't going to be no fake news, okay? You make the post. We will find out what the folks enjoy or prefer. But the other thing, because I did say two. So now it's obviously Woo Pig.
And your math is outstanding.
And then the hooing or howling.
Oh, now, yeah.
At the beginning of the hog call.
That crap.
Right there. That will always.
It's not acceptable.
That will always take the cake. Above the Woo Pig. So,
well, I'm not sitting here wrapping up a show going, oh, we'll see you later.
Yeah, so.
I don't do that crap.
Anyway.
I agree with you on that.
Woo Pig Suey.
Shit. I'm just, again, we're not saying it's not okay. Just saying that WooPig is also okay.
All I'm saying is WooPig silly.
Are we done? Did I make you mad? He's getting off. He's red faced, people.
No, I love it. I love it. And I want to know what the folks
we will
think.
We will
so,
set that up. We will
at JRD Hogcast, if the poll's already up, jump on that one and retweet it, like it. Use the hashtag JRD Hogcast. Tell Jordan who's correct, WooPig Suey. And that's all you gotta do.
That's not right. Oh God, I'm gonna have the producer help me out on this one. Create a couple of accounts, just yes.
That doesn't
yes.
matter. I imagine we will discuss this on the next episode, but until next time, I am Dylan Lee for the JRD Hogcast.
Woo pig. Oh, sorry. Yeah. I'm Jordan with the JRD Hogcast, and it was good talking to you. It's been a week. Enjoyed it as always.
Yeah.
Woo pig.
Silly. Want to give a shout out to our sponsors. We got Elite Mobile Detail LLC and Ivan's Old Time Meat Shop, NWA Streetworks as well. Our producer, Luke Griggs. And until next time, woo pig silly.
Out the corner of my eye, I saw a pretty little thing approaching me. She said, I never seen a man who looks so all alone. Could you use a little company? If you pay the right price, your evening will be nice and you can go and send me on my way. I said, you're such a sweet young thing, why you do this to yourself? She looked at me and this is what she said.